Here comes the Pitch Bandwagon.
Laugh a while, let a song be your style. Use Pitch Shampoo. Don't despair, use your head, save your hair. Use Pitch Shampoo.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Pitch Bandwagon brings you the greatest show on earth. Yes, sir, we've rolled the old bandwagon right into Madison Square Garden in New York. And here's your friend, the driver, the man with sawdust and his brain, Toby Reed.
thank you. That's really wonderful. Thank you, Ben Grauer.
I got that sawdust on the brain treatment, too, man. That was really a fine thing to say about me. But as a matter of fact, folks, you know, Ben's right. I've really got sawdust on my brain, peanuts in my pockets, and spring in my heart because the circus has really come to town. And what a kick we're getting out of this show tonight. You know, here in a reserved section of seats are a couple of hundred children who are guests of the F.W. Fitch Company for our broadcast and the entire circus performance following. But then these are very special children we've adopted tonight. They're the children of men who are far away from home serving their country. Now, because of this, the employees of the Fitch Company got together and said, well, these kids aren't going to miss the circus because Dad's out fighting for freedom. We're going to get together and send them to the circus, and that's exactly what they've done. So here they are, accompanied by a special guard of honor made up of the American Legion veterans in uniform. And here we are about to introduce them to a man. Well, I think he's probably the one who has a job that I'm sure every boy among them would like to have when he grows up. Yes, indeed. You can see he's got fans, and believe me, he's got fans all over the country. It's the idol of all kids from 6 to 60, Merle Evans, bandmaster of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus Band. You know, if ever there was a man who's an expert on bandwagons, I believe Merle Evans is really that man. So believe me, it's a pleasure to welcome you again to our Fitch Bandwagon, Merle.
I should welcome you, Toby, seeing that you've rolled right into my camping ground. How do you like Madison Square Garden and its circus trimmings?
Well, I don't wonder that these servicemen's children have their eyes popping out, Merle. Ropes and wires everywhere. You know, it gives you the impression that a gigantic spider has been at work in the lofty reaches of this enormous building. You know, Merle, you feel that he's sort of spun a super web high over the three rings, two stages, the Tanbark Hippodrome track, which will soon be the scene of a kaleidoscopic tapestry of color, music, and action.
But doggone it, Toby, if you're not talking just like a circus man yourself.
Well, I guess, Merle, that's the atmosphere. It kind of got me. However, you can break in on me by giving the kids your big opening march titled Ringling Brothers Grand Entry.
The band.
Popcorn, You know, wait a minute. I'm outnumbered here. I might point out to our radio passengers that the voices you're hearing in the background are the real McCoy. Merle Evans played the opening march for our audience of children, and while he was doing that, Madison Square Garden has been gradually filling with people for tonight's performance. Now, the peanut vendors are part of the show, as you all know, as every circus fan all over the world knows.
I say they are, Toby. Millie Brothers men have been catering to our elephants for years.
Merle, you know, there's my idea of really doing something big in life. Catering to elephants. But I happen to know that they don't just cater to elephants, Merle. They tell me that you're the only cornet player in the world who can eat peanuts and play cornet at the same time. How about
that? You bet, Toby, and still lead the band with my left hand. I've been doing it for over 20 years.
Well, then I suppose by now that you can do it while you're riding a horse. I hear that during the winter season you became bandmaster of that famous cowboy band at Hardin-Simmons University in Abilene, Texas.
That's right, and I was mighty proud of that band. That cowboy band even made a world tour.
Well, I know they're great, Merle, but stick to the point, will you? I want to know if you can play your horn while you're riding a horse.
I guess I'll have to break down and tell you the story. I've been in carnivals, tent shows, and circuses for 35 years, and the first time I ever rode a horse was with the cowboy band. I had all I could do to hold on, let alone play my cornet.
So that's the story in back of that broken wrist that you picked up at Hardin-Simmons University, huh?
You're not going to believe me, Toby, but you're wrong. I got off the horse, took two steps, and slipped on some ice and broke my wrist.
All right, Merle, as a matter of fact, I will believe you. Merle, I don't know anyone who, well, better than yourself, who can tell us what the outstanding act is in this year's greatest show.
Well, it's hard to pick just one, but I think the kids here are going to get a big kick out of a military number done by the elephants. It's called Changing of the Guard.
Oh, that sounds like a great stunt. What kind of music do you play for that act, Merle?
A very appropriate number, considering that all our elephants are girls. It's called Seize the McCoy.
Boy, that really is a chorus. Well, here's a preview, then, for our youthful audience. Remember now, kids, when you hear Merle playing this tune, later during the circus performance, you're going to see five herds of elephants doing a military drill. Merle Evans, the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Band, playing Buddy Fail's new song, She's the McCoy. You know, I've been watching and listening to you. You seem to sort of, well, since we came in here tonight, you seem to catch on to the circus atmosphere.
I'm the circus kid.
I can see what you mean, boy. You got sawdust in your ears tonight. You have that circus enthusiasm in everything you say,
well, why shouldn't I, Toby? After all, who wouldn't be enthusiastic over Fitch shampoo? And that's why I want everyone to use it. Everyone from tiny baby up. Fitch shampoo is gentle, yet it has a special reconditioning action which makes the hair easier to manage, softer, more radiant. Yes, folks, I say everyone should use Fitch shampoo because it is the only shampoo whose guarantee to remove dandruff with the first application bears the backing of one of the world's largest insurance firms. And everyone can be sure of keeping the hair attractive, shining, and free from dandruff by using Fitch shampoo regularly each week. You see, Fitch shampoo has a penetrating action that dissolves dandruff when the shampoo is applied directly from the bottle. Yes, Fitch shampoo gets right into the hair openings where cleanliness is essential. The shampoo is massaged into the scalp for a minute, then warm water is added, soft or hard water, and a rich, abundant lather forms to carry off this dandruff, dust, and dirt.
If you'll always remember that only clean, really clean hair can be beautiful, you'll insist on Fitch Shampoo. Fitch Shampoo leaves the hair and scalp antiseptically clean and free from dandruff. At your barber or beauty shop, at your drug counter, ask for Fitch Shampoo, spelled F-I-T-C-H. Fitch Shampoo, guaranteed to remove dandruff with the first application.
Passengers, as all of you know from past visits with the circus on board the old Fitch bandwagon, no big top excursion would be complete without our good friend Beverly Kelly, circus authority, author of books and articles pertaining to the realm of sawdust and spangles, and a downright good guy along with that. So, Bev, why don't you come out from behind those 14-karat adjectives of yours and tell us what this big show has cooked up for 1943, will you?
Thank you, Toby, but adjectives? I've got 1,000 of them. This year's super spectacle is an iridescently magnificent marvel of matchless mastodonic beauty. A mighty multitude of amazing... Get away from me, boys. You bother me. They're crabbing my act, Toby. They're crabbing my act.
I see what you mean, Bez, but rise above it, my man. Rise above it. You're just beginning to get warmed up. Go ahead and try it again.
Okay. What I want to say is that the big show offers a cataclysmic cavalcade of priceless pageantry of indescribable immensity. Oh, what's the use? I know when I'm licked. Drowned out by a commercial for an elephant's breakfast.
Well, we really got competition here. Well, Bev, you know, I think I've got an idea. You know, for the past 3 years, Mr. F.W. Fitch has attempted to attend our circus broadcast. Well, this year, he made it. And he's sitting right here in the midst of these kids, and I'm going to put him on the spot. F.W., how about coming over here and helping us out? You know, you've removed a lot of dandruff from the United States. Now, why can't you remove some of these peanut benders?
Listen, there isn't a boy or a girl in the world that could tend a circus without peanuts.
How about
Toby, give him a great walk.
I'm waiting for him, Governor. I think it's a great idea. Hey, boys, bring those peanuts. Bring them over here, will you? Go ahead, Paul. Watch the kids. Look at those kids going wild over there. Those kids are really going to the circus in style. Hey, wait a minute, kids. Ladies and gentlemen, if we have a broadcast from now on, it isn't our fault. We're going to be pushed off of here pretty soon. The kid's trying to get to the peanut basket. We've got to get back on the air right away.
Seriously, Toby, tonight these kids are going to see for the first time in their lives something that their parents and grandparents will remember from circus days before traffic congestion drove the old-fashioned street parade from the main thoroughfares of America. Robert Aubrey and Mrs. Charles Ringling have produced an opening feature that is a replica of a street parade at the turn of the century, complete with bandwagon, steam calliope, and all. And show them what you have for it, Merle.
Here it is, Toby. How do you like this for a colossal instrument?
Wait a minute, Merle. Colossal, you say? That's the littlest, tiniest cornet I ever did see. That isn't any bigger than your hand. Hold it up for the kids to see, will you? How about that, kids? Look at the size of that cornet. Tell me, now, what's that midget cornet have to do with a parade? I don't get it.
Well, Toby, when all of us crowd onto the top of the bandwagon, there just isn't room for a full-size cornet.
Well, Merle, you ought to use a shoehorn and just play the footnotes.
Toby, you could be thrown to the lions for a gag like that.
I see what you mean. I guess those old street parade days must have taken a lot out of the musicians, Merle.
They sure did. Some covered 12 miles of streets, and we'd play more than 50 marches.
Merle, why don't you give the kids a musical preview of the parade right now?
Bev, you're full of ideas, and they're always good ones. Tell me, just how did those old-time circus parades get underway, anyway?
Well, in those days, there weren't any automobiles, and horses and elephants just didn't mix. So every parade was preceded by an announcement by the town cop. Yes, the main streets of America used to echo to these historic words. Hold your horses, the elephants are coming. Come six dapple gray horses pulling a magnificent new bandwagon designed in winter quarters by Roland Butler and built by our master wagon builder, William Yeske. A replica of the bandwagon that rumbled their way into the hearts of kids and grown-ups alike in the dim, distant days of the old circus street parade. And now the mounted guardsmen and the beautiful ladies, the cages with their sunburst wheels and pacing wild beasts of the jungle. The clowns and other well-remembered parade features circle the hippodrome track. Maybe you were a barefoot kid then, and maybe you were all dressed up in your uncomfortable Sunday best. Will you ever forget it? Those were the days. But look in the mirror of your memory and listen to that circus band. The curtain of the years is drawing apart, and you are racing back down the corridors of time. Back to childhood's matchless hour when the circus came to town and the kid on that main street was you.
Well, that was really fine, Bill. That was really wonderful. That was a picture that anybody could have seen. And there, folks, you have a typical Merle Evans circus march played by Merle's Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Band. Well, passengers, with Beverly Kelly in tow, you know, we've sort of come to expect some mighty interesting big-top personalities. How about it, Beverly?
Well, Toby, this visit to the bandwagon at the actual show grounds gives me an opportunity to have you meet one of the most colorful figures in show business. He is the distinguished-looking gentleman in the scarlet cutaway coat, tall silk hat, with the black mustache.
A mustache on his hat, Bev?
No, on the man, Toby.
Man,
under the
said,
hat.
What I said.
It's his silver whistle that cues the band and all the acts in the big show, and he's the equestrian director, Fred Bradner.
Well, Mr. Bradner, believe me, I've admired you from afar for a long, long time, and it's really a pleasure to meet you personally. Tell me, how long have you been in this business?
Toby, I got into the circus business when Merle Evans' band uniform consisted of a pair of three-cornered pants. I joined this show 43 years ago, and I was marshal in 1903.
Oh, man, that's what I really call a career. I bet you've had your share of adventures down through those years, haven't you?
Adventure? Say, Toby, I'll say he has. The greatest one was 50 years ago, the night the little bareback rider in a Parisian circus fell off her horse and landed right at his feet.
Gee, Bev, did anything serious happen?
Plenty serious, Toby. He married her. And these kids here tonight will see Ella Bradner riding a beautiful white horse in the parade just as in the long ago. You know, Fred's been through 10 blowdowns, fires, wild animal escapes, stampedes, and has come out without a scratch.
Well, we're mighty happy to have him here, believe me.
Except recently when I fell down a coal chute in Lansing, Michigan and broke my leg.
And after hearing that of the story of Merle's broken wrist, I see that you circus people seldom get hurt at your own profession, which sort of speaks for it. Well, Mr. Bradner, our bandwagon ride wouldn't hardly be complete without the clowns. Do you suppose there's enough authority in your silver whistle to bring on those clowns? These kids I know are waiting for them.
Toby, that's easy. Just two things are needed. A trombone spare musical number for Merle and a toot on the whistle from me, like this.
Hold your hat, kids. Here come the clowns.
Stand back, Toby. Here they come.
Ladies, Emma Kelly. Look at your faces there, Bev.
Now, look at the kids now.
Who's that? Felix Adler and his little pig.
Felix with his pig and Harry Dan with his duck.
And over there's Jack LeClaire, Paul Giroux. Believe me, there's some famous
here's
clowns.
Charlie
here
Bell
tonight
with his dog. Lou Jacobs with the biggest nose in show business.
Really, passengers, we've got
there's
Paul
Felix
Strickland.
Felix, point.
Pretty good. How are you? It's well seeing you.
There's Homer Goddard.
Get the goose out of my mouth.
Look at the neon heart on Paul Jerome. It flickers every time he sees a pretty girl in the stand.
Well, that.
Well, there's
little
Frankie Stallone.
They're going crazy up there, Beth. Believe me, Patrick.
There's Ward Byron splitting an infinity with an obelisk.
Man, Harry Hiller's over there and Joe Daly with a stopwatch in one hand, a hot dog with another.
There they go, clowns tumbling in the aisles, in the seats, and the kids having a wonderful time.
I'm glad you really got all the old regulars back here. They're synonymous with the name of Barnum and Bailey. Folks, we got them tall, we got them short, we got them fat, we got them thin, we've got them...
Johnny Tripp over there.
Johnny Tripp and Homer Goddard throwing hats into the air, and they spin and come back into their hands, sailing out over the heads of the bandmen.
And now the clowns are working their way up into the audience, folks, and the kids are absolutely going wild. They've got one clown practically taken apart up there, some youngsters becoming the clowns. You know,
up, Ben?
Yeah, Toby.
Ben, one of the makeup men for Ringling Brothers Clowns is telling me that funny as these faces are to the crowd, you know, it's no fun for the clowns to have their makeup applied and removed so often.
Well, I can imagine, Toby, and that's because it makes the skin extra sensitive, and shaving, you see, is an added torture. But you know, Pitcher's No Brush Shaving Cream is designed for sensitive skins, even sensitive skins with tough beards. So with Pitcher's No Brush, men with tender skin now find that they can get a cool, easy shave. No razor pull, no scratched or irritated feeling. Now, this special shaving pleasure in Pitcher's No Brush comes from the fact that there's a wonderful new skin conditioner right in the shaving cream, which prepares the most sensitive face for a solid comfort shave. In addition, Pitcher's No Brush contains other special ingredients, too, which help give a cool, relaxing shave. Then, plus all this, Pitcher's No Brush has all the ingredients of your aftershave lotions right in the shaving cream. So this one easy-to-use product supplies all three shaving needs. First, a wonderful skin conditioner. Second, a cool, refreshing shaving cream. And third, the ingredients for a pleasant aftershave feel. If you're a face nicker and a jar juggler, if you've been using several jars and bottles of shaving lotions, tonics, and creams, switch to Pitcher's No Brush, the no-brush cream made especially for sensitive skins. Ask for Pitcher's No Brush at your drug counter. If preferred, there's Pitcher's Lather type, which also contains this special skin conditioner. And both types come in handy glass jars, 25 and 50 cent sizes.
These kids are really going wild, folks, and I think Bev and I are going to lose our voice before this thing's over if we don't lose our minds, Bev. You know, at past visits with Merle Evans of the circus band, the stunt that received the most comment is that special brand of music that Merle is noted for cooking up. It's the kind where these wind jammers, that is, the musicians who play constantly in this band, change the tune they're playing on a split-second cue at the sound of a whistle. I know that these servicemen's children who are here as guests of the pitch employees tonight will get a great big kick out of that, and I know that the man to arrange it for us is none other than our friend Beverly Kelly.
Well, Toby, no sooner requested than done. Merle has prepared a special treat tonight. When the air is spangled with the tunes of the Big Top, our thoughts turn to the fathers of these fine children who are your guests on the pitch bandwagon. And may we of the circus include the thousands of show people serving the cause of freedom and human decency all over the world.
Well, that's a mighty fine tribute, Bev, and very appropriate, too, because, you know, these special recordings of this broadcast are going to be sent out around the world so that those men can hear exactly what you said.
Well, then I say to them, wherever they are, in foxholes, tents, or dugouts, in all the far-flung battle theaters of the world, for those serving the greatest country on earth, the greatest show on earth, offers you a musical salute. We hope these circus tunes will help you to smell the tan bark and hear the roars of the animal, the laughter of the children, your children, the children you're fighting for. And our pledge to you men is this, that the circus, like other American institutions you love, will be here waiting for you when you come sailing, flying, or marching home.
Jeff, you've got time to speak up on us again. We've had a lot of fun here, and believe me, we hope that our visit with the greatest show on earth has brought you pleasure right into your own home. We're in Madison Square Garden, New York, and the children who are the guests of the Fitch Company will remain right in their seats and see the circus performance in its entirety, which follows immediately. Thanks to you, Merle Evans, and to the Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Band, to Beverly Kelly, Frank Morrissey, Fred Bradner, and the clowns for getting the sons and daughters of our fighting men in the mood for the big show that's coming up. Our thanks also to Mr. Hugh A. Carson, New York County Commander of the American Legion, for the help the American Legion is doing in bringing the children down here to the circus for us tonight. Our thanks also to the Peanut Butchers, who played the part of the Peanut Butchers, Al Rosen and Bill White. Thanks to all of you, sincerely. Well, next week, it's Abe Lyman, so be with us then, will you? Until then, this is Toby Reed saying a goodbye is the United States War Savings Bond.
Laugh a while, let a song be your star, use Fitch Shampoo. Don't despair, use your head, save your hair, use Fitch Shampoo.
The Bandwagon is brought to you by the F.W. Fitch Company, makers of the famous Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo and Ideal Hair Tonic.
After and between Fitch shampoos, you can keep your hair shining and manageable by using a few drops of Fitch's Ideal Hair Tonic every day. Fitch's Ideal Hair Tonic is not sticky or greasy, yet it gives your hair that well-groomed look. And remember, men, give Fitch's shaving cream a try. Ask for it at your drug counter in the handy glass jars, either no brush or lather type. Generous 25 and 50 cent sizes. Fitch's shaving cream. This is Ben Grauer speaking for Jack Costello, who will return with you next week. The program originated in Madison Square Garden in New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.